Randy, we met about 15 years ago, and if there's a word that sums up your life from my perspective, and one of the reasons why I felt so privileged to meet you and to develop a friendship with you is that you have lived a life of courageousness. Randy's story of coming to Christ and also of what happened to him as a pastor and the adversity that came his way through the court system and through Satan and through the world, and the courage of which he faced that and the example that he's led for so many Christians, thousands of Christians, literally millions of Christians across America. I'm hoping that he could take the next 6 or 8 minutes and tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, I was a pastor from 1977 to 1990, and we had a church probably similar in certain respects to your own church in terms of beliefs and convictions and desire to reach the world and disciple people and all of those things. And one of the things that happened along the way was we opened our home to a girl who had come in for counseling. She was pregnant. She had had an abortion in the past, and she needed a place to stay to get out of a really, really bad situation living with a boyfriend, and her parents had thrown her out, and they were fed up. And so we opened our home to this girl, and that was a very challenging, difficult experience. Some of you have done similar things, and you know how challenging it can be. And yet it was something that God was in, and he wanted us to do it, and we did it, and had the joy of seeing this girl who was 18 years old at the time come to faith in Christ and place her child for adoption into a Christian home. And along the way, then, we started, another group started one of the first crisis pregnancy centers then called in the Pacific Northwest, and at the time there were only a dozen of them in the country that we were aware of, and they asked me to be on the board, and I was glad to do that. And as a pastor, part of my job was to go to other pastors and say, hey, could you get your church people involved in this? And at the time, I was like, what? I mean, what does this have to do with the church? And it was a new concept way back then, in the early 80s, and yet people got captivated by it, and we were captivated by it. Then as the years went on, as I was a pastor in 1989, felt like, you know, I want to do more, get involved in this, in the pro-life issue on another level. And at the time, God led some of us across the country to be involved in peaceful, nonviolent civil disobedience at abortion clinics, where we would stand in front of the doors completely passively, never touching anything, not yelling, not shouting, not doing any of those things, but in love, nonetheless, standing up and saying, we want to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, to defend the rights of the poor and needy, as Proverbs 31 and many other passages tell us to do. So we did that. That was not a popular thing. It wasn't a popular thing among many Christians. It certainly wasn't a popular thing in the world. And above all, it was not a popular thing in the state of Oregon. I am from the physician-assisted suicide state, the first principality in human history to legalize physician-assisted suicide. It was practiced in the Netherlands, but was not legal there prior to the time that it was legalized in Oregon. The climate is such that it is the very opposite of pro-life. So we got really hammered with jail sentences, fines, lawsuits, all of those things, and ultimately, because of a lawsuit where they came to garnish my wages from the church, I was in a position where I felt like I really had to resign so that they could not garnish my wages and the church would not have to choose between writing out a check every month to an abortion clinic and defying a court order. So suddenly in 1990, if you would have asked me, what are you going to be doing 30 years from now, I would have said, I think I'll still be a pastor of this church. But suddenly I couldn't be a pastor at my church anymore and was unable to make more than a minimum wage because minimum wage can't be garnished under Oregon law, but anything above it can be. And there were several lawsuits. One was for $8.2 million, that judgment was brought against us. And like I told people, when I was a pastor, $8.2 million, that was more than I made in a year. And so anyway, we went from there, and God opened up a new ministry for us. And we said, well, what's close to our heart? Missions work was close to our heart. Pro-life work was close to our heart. And thought, well, maybe God is using this time for me to spend more time in writing. And we went from there and started this ministry, Eternal Perspective Ministries.